Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Bernsy, what's going on?
Happy draft day to you.
Happy draft day.
Yeah, right?
Happy draft day.
Excited about today. It's fun. Seven hours of who knows what the hell's going to happen, right? Like, unpredictability. It's like the roulette ball, right? You spin it. Is it going to land on black? Is it going to land on red? Is it going to go in one of those little green jobbers? We don't know. We have no idea, right?
Just thinking about the first draft class for the Arizona Cardinals that I ever participated in was 97.
Okay.
97, that draft class.
Was that the Plummer draft class?
Tommy Knight, Jake Plummer, Ty Howard, Chris Dishman, Chad Carpenter, Rod Brown, Tony McCombs, Mark Smith.
Yeah.
So my first draft here in Arizona was 97. That was the Tommy Knight draft.
Okay. The first one that you covered as a host, I'd have to go back and look. The first one I covered would have been the 95 draft.
Oh, okay.
Right. And I don't remember who I don't remember who was taken in the 95 draft. I have to look that up.
It's crazy how much I remember about that draft, too, with Tommy Knight being the third cornerback taken from Iowa. And, you know, that they didn't get the first two guys. One was a Syracuse guy, and another one was, there were two good cornerbacks that went before him. And they took him with I remember the draft. Like, I do really remember, like, they reached for a corner and got the third best guy instead of getting, the best player. They reached for a guy at a position of need.
That's a miracle, because you can't remember what you had for breakfast this morning.
I know, but I remember the 97 draft.
Let's tell everybody what the plan is today, and then we're going to dive deep into some of the intel that Gambo has about what might come down today with the Arizona Cardinals. We are live inside Flankers Kitchen and Sports Bar here at State Farm Stadium. The big draft party on the Great Lawn is just right over my right shoulder on the other side of these big plain glass windows here. Windows, I should say. We're going to be here until the end of the first round. Now, Gambo and I are going to do our show up until about 4, starting at 4 o'clock. It's going to be you, me, Ron Wolfley, and Dan Bickley doing it roundtable style. And then over the course of the entire first round of the draft, it's going to be the four of us. Vince Marotta is going to pop in. Luke Lipinski is going to pop in. It'll be some different combination of all of us throughout the rest of the night. We're going to bring you the entire first round, all the ups and downs, all the trades, all the moves, all the speculation. It's one of our favorite days of the year. It's my favorite day of the year to be on the air. I get a real charge by this. So we're looking forward to bringing it to you, and we'll just all find out together what's going to happen with the Arizona Cardinals. So with that, let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on Burns and Gambo.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
As it stands right now, the Arizona Cardinals today have the 4th and the 27th pick in the NFL draft. It starts at 5 o'clock. We think the Cardinals will make the 4th pick around 5:45 or so, give or take. But the speculation, Gambo, and all the possibilities of what they could do and what they might do, let's share with the folks with what you know, and we'll start wherever you want to start on this one.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time on the phones trying to get as much information as I can, gather as much. Listen, it's still a really good chance they stay at 4 and make a pick there, and a lot of us still believe that that's Marvin Harrison Jr. But what I can tell you is that there have been 4 teams that have contacted the Cardinals that are interested in moving up in this draft. One of them, I think everybody knows who one of them is. It's the Minnesota Vikings. The second one is the New York Giants. Mm. At number 6, the Giants have an interest in moving up to 4. The third team would be the Denver Broncos. And I'll give you one wild card, and that's the Las Vegas Raiders have had some interest as well. So what I can tell you now is that, and again, this isn't internet and reading stuff. This is, working the phones and getting the information. The 4 teams that would have interest in moving up, if somebody moves up to four, very, very likely that'll be the Vikings, the Giants, the Broncos, or the Raiders. Very likely to be one of those teams. Now, doesn't mean that they're going to make a move, but those are the teams that are going to call. The Cardinals are very likely going to wait until they're on the clock, work the phones as much as they can, get the best offer they can, and make a deal if they want to make a deal. If they don't like what they're being offered, they'll sit where they are and they'll take a pick at number four.
All right, let's talk about where those teams are real quick, just so we can provide proper context in case people don't have the draft order memorized. Vikings, obviously, are sitting at number 11 and number 23. So for them to move up, presumably it would take both of those first-round picks, and probably, because there's a premium placed on quarterbacks, probably a future first as well. So you're talking about three first-round picks. You would assume, we don't know that for a fact, but you would assume that to be the case. The Giants, to me, are the most intriguing of the four teams that you mentioned, because the Cardinals would drop only two spots and would still be in a very, very sweet spot to do all sorts of things that they might want to do if they only move down to six.
There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of days that the Giants are not willing to move up, but that is not what I was hearing as of last night, that that is not the case, that they do have some in. That doesn't mean they're going to do it, but they have had interest in moving up as of yesterday.
Okay, Denver is at 12. So obviously, and they don't have two first-rounders to peddle this year, so obviously you're talking about future considerations from them if they're going to come up from 12 to 4 to make a deal like that. Maybe that's a player, maybe that's a player in future first, whatever the case may be, but Denver would have to pay up. Vegas would have to pay up. They're at number 13, so for them to do it, they'd have to give up, again, multiple future picks in order to make that happen.
There's a feeling they could stay where they are and maybe get Michael Penix Jr., but if they like J.J. McCarthy better, would they be aggressive to try to move up and get that guy? There's a lot of thought, because of the Antonio Pierce and Jaden McDaniels connection, that they want to do everything they can to get Jaden McDaniels, but it seems like he's out of reach for them.
Yeah,
it seems like there's no way that they can do anything to get Jaden McDaniels, so now you got to pivot and see, is there a quarterback you like? Would they be willing to come up to four with the Cardinals and make a trade?
Yeah, they're mock drafts. They're terrible predictors of what's going to happen. It was fascinating kind of reading everybody's last attempt at a mock draft today. Most of them had five or six quarterbacks going in the first round. Most of them had Penix and Bo Nix both going in the first round. That would make it a grand total of six quarterbacks taken in the first round. So that's something very interesting to keep an eye on as well. Now, of course, as we've talked about, if the Cardinals move out of the top 10, there'd be a couple things at play here. Number one, they'd have sufficient ammunition to move back up if they wanted to, and we'll talk about the teams that they would target in just a second. But number two, there would also have to be a very baked-in comfort of, hey, if we can't move back in, we're very happy with the guy that we would get at 12 if it's the Broncos, or 13 if it's the Raiders, or 11 if it's the Vikings.
If they fall out of the top 10, they will attempt to move back in, and they've got teams that they would target there. But if the Cardinals do make a trade with one of those teams, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Raiders, and they fall outside of the top 10, they will make a trade that gives them enough ammunition to not only move back into the top 10, but then also come out as what we call a net positive. So I'll give you, last year they gave up the second to move back up, but they still had the first and the third. That was a net positive from their trade. When they made that trade with the Texans for Will Anderson, they still, even after moving back up, were still a net positive, a first and a third. So if they do make a trade again, and it takes two to ten, but if they make a trade again, they will have their eye on moving back into the top 10. There are teams that are targeted, and then also still making sure that you come out a net positive, which is, okay, I'll give up something that I just gained, but then I'm going to come out ahead in a couple of other areas.
Sure, and the teams that you had mentioned in the past as potential trade back targets if the Cardinals move out: the Chargers at 5, the Titans at 7, the Falcons at 8, the Bears at 9,
right,
are the teams that you have mentioned. Now,
right. And there's a good chance that if you get in, and the Bears are looking for picks, so the Bears could be very interested in making a trade because they want to, they want to get some more picks. So you might be able to get into that top 10 with one of those teams. But that would be the teams that you target to move back up to.
All right, we got a lot to get into, but there's one other nugget that I want you to share with everybody before we take it to a break, although we're not going to stop with the draft talk because we're going to talk about Marvin Harrison coming up in just a minute and some of the things that maybe you're cooking with him. But one other little bit of intel that you were able to find out last night has to do with the Gambo 5 that you revealed yesterday.
Yes.
The three wide receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, then the tackle from Notre Dame, Joe Alt, the edge from Alabama, Dallas Turner. Those are the five guys that you believe if the Cardinals have a top 10 pick, it's going to be one of those five guys.
In the top 10,
In the top 10. If they have a top 10 pick, what's the caveat to that list?
that all three receivers are not rated higher than the Notre Dame tackle or the Alabama edge rusher.
Okay.
So, and I think this is an interesting talking point we're going to get into. If two of the wide receivers are gone and there's one wide receiver left, they may end up going with Joe Alt or Dallas Turner over a wide receiver.
Oh boy!
No, not. I believe that they will.
Okay.
I believe that if the third best wide receiver on their board is on the board when they're, say they're picking 8 or 9, two wide receivers are gone, and they're their top two wide receivers, and the third wide receiver is still there.
Mm-hmm. And they go a different direction.
I believe that they would go with Joe Alt or Dallas Turner over that third wide receiver.
Yeah. Who that third wide receiver is.
Right.
That would be.
But it does mean to. My indications are that they have the Notre Dame tackle and the Dallas edge rusher rated higher than at least one of those three wide receivers.
It's good intel. That's what makes today so fun. Is speculation like that, kind of thinking out loud about things when it comes to that. We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You can listen to the show whenever you want, the Burns and Gambo Show podcast, and it's brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold guaranteed realty. Was Marvin Harrison Jr. promised a Cardinal red jersey? We'll get into that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
It's Luke. The Arizona Cardinals have the chance to reshape their franchise with this draft. So who will be the newest members of the Bird Gang? We'll be reacting tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Again, not that mock drafts are the end-all be-all when it comes to predicting what's going to happen tonight, because as we've learned throughout the years, they are absolutely not. But I think anybody, and I know you did the same thing, Gambo, who took kind of one last pass through the mock drafts today on all of the major websites. Well, I'd say 2 weeks ago, you could throw a rock in the air, and you would have hit a mock draft that said the Cardinals were trading out of four. Today, Daniel Jeremiah, Peter Schrager, Dane Brugler at The Athletic, Field Yates at ESPN, all say exactly the same thing. Marvin Harrison Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yes.
No one's talking about trading out anymore. Nobody's talking about they're going to get this, they're going to get that. It was universal, almost across the board, as if the trend that had developed about a week ago, 10 days ago, had just vanished and all of a sudden was gone. Well, and I said, never mind. You know what? Second thought, they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
And there's a very good reason for that. There's a very good reason for that. Because the Cardinals general manager is not entertaining any offers to where a team can go back and say, we've had discussion with the Cardinals or, you know, leak anything like that. There have been no discussions. When we are on the clock, we will discuss with you if you want to make a trade. So there's no evidence leading up till today from any other team saying, you know, going to a media member, hey, or they, you know, that they have a close relationship with, yeah, we talked to the Cardinals. We feel pretty good about our chances to move up. Like, there's a few things that they want. We're working. There isn't any of that because the Cardinals have not entertained. They know who wants to move up, but they haven't actually discussed.
Well, but that requires preliminary conversations to know who wants to move up. You can't know who wants to move up without at least having some preliminary conversations with those teams about who wants to move up.
Well, who wants to move up and not what it would take to move up.
Well, okay, fine. But I mean, you got kind of an idea of where you might get the calls from when you're on the clock at 4 o'clock. It's not like it's going to be, you know, you gave us four teams. It's not like it's going to be a total surprise when Monty Austin Fort and the Cardinals are on the clock and they get a call from the Vikings or the Giants or Denver or Vegas.
But there hasn't been any, like, meat and potatoes of what a deal would take.
Okay, that's fine. But we're splitting hairs here. But
and I think that's why a lot of people just go with Marvin Harrison Jr. because there's no real indications from the Cardinals that they're going to trade this pick, just that they would be willing to speak with teams when they are on the clock at number four.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting little tidbit to throw in there as well, and this is coming from Matt Miller's his latest mock draft as well. He also has the Cardinals taking Marvin Harrison Jr. at number four. I'm going to read this word for word. Harrison met with two teams for his 30 visits in the lead up to the draft. Every player is allowed 30 of these visits, or every team is allowed 30 of these visits, I should say. The only two teams he met with were the Bears and the Cardinals. Sources around the NFL say Marvin Harrison Jr. has an assurance from the Cardinals that he will be the pick if available at this spot. Arizona would be getting its next Larry Fitzgerald to pair with quarterback Kyler Murray. Harrison has great body control, speed, and instincts, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
assured, has an assurance from the Cardinals. He will be the pick
that
available
he's be
at this
the
spot.
Pick. Yeah, yep. I would not be surprised if Mitch would win a lunch bet from you.
Yes, he would.
Because
yes,
Marvin
would.
Harrison Jr. would be the pick. Now, if that's set in stone, I'd be a little surprised because, again, I think you're going to get calls, and there's always a price for everything. So if somebody calls you while you're on the clock, there's probably a price for that. I would lean right now towards Marvin Harrison Jr. being the pick as well at number four. We've told you who the teams are that want to try to trade up. I think, in my opinion, the Cardinals wide receiver board looks like this. Marvin Harrison Jr. 1, Roma Dunze 2, Malik Nabers 3. That's what I think their wide receiver board looks like. But I do believe that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the clear-cut number one on that board.
Yeah, and that's where the whole trade back down scenario, I mean, there is a, it's a, you really have to thread the needle on this one. And I mean, really have to thread the needle. But my brain just starts thinking about all these possibilities of being able to have your cake and eat it too. Okay. For example, trade out of four because somebody blows you away. Okay. But as you have mentioned, one of the potential landing spots to trade back in is the Chargers at number five. If it goes quarterback, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, that'd be the first time in the history of the draft has done that. You could trade back up to five and still get Marvin Harrison Jr. Okay?
Yeah.
You could.
Yes.
You could.
Now, the Cardinals, the Chargers need offensive line help, and I think a lot of people feel they'll take an offensive tackle if the Cardinals make a pick at four and they take Marvin Harrison Jr., even though they need wide receivers, and they do need wide receivers.
Of course.
They might have a hard time passing on a tackle.
There's a heavy amount of speculation that they either A, want to trade out, or B, they want to take a tackle at number five. So I'm just, if they want to trade out, okay, that gets my second possibility. Let's say the Cardinals move back to the Giants spot at number six.
Okay.
Quarterback, 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 quarterback. The Chargers are sitting there, and they go, okay, yeah, we love the wide receivers, but man, we really need an offensive lineman for Jim Harbaugh's system. Could you imagine? And this is really threading a needle here. Could you imagine Marvin Harrison Jr. being there at six if you trade back with the Giants?
Trade back with the Giants. Chargers take Joe Walt, the best left tackle in this draft.
Uh-huh.
And again, I think Joe Walt would be the Cardinals pick if all three wide receivers are gone and they're picking somewhere.
But I'm not talking about that.
You're
I'm
saying, could you trade with the Giants
yes.
at six?
Yep.
Chargers take Alt. You're there at six, and you get Marvin Harrison Jr. anyway.
Is there a way, and I know I'm dreaming. I love to dream. I love to come up with these scenarios that I know are never going to happen because I'm a dreamer, Gambo. I'm a dreamer. But I'm thinking to myself, is there a way to do both? Is there a way to trade down, trade up, and still get him? Or trade down to a spot where you still get him? And I'm just kind of playing this, and obviously it all kind of focuses on the Chargers and what do they do? And their general manager the other day saying, hey, the draft starts with us. It's going to go quarterback, 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 quarterback. The draft starts with us and we'll decide what we do. If it really does, quote, go quarterback in the first four picks and they go offensive lineman at number, it seems crazy to think they would pass on Marvin Harrison Jr. at five and take Joe Alt. But if they really want to tackle, I don't know, man. It's just kind of a thought in my head. Like, I wonder if you could pull it off, but it'd take an enormous amount of risk.
Last time I remember a team hitting their dream scenario was when Earl Watson called me the night before the draft and said, our dream scenario is Marquise Chris and Dragan Bender.
Okay, that's true.
And then I went on the Doug and Wolf show at the time, and I said, the Cardinals' dream scenario today,
Suns' dream scenario.
Suns' dream scenario is to get Marquise Chris and Dragan Bender.
And then you went on your own show later that day and couldn't remember saying on the Doug and Wolf show. You had to be reminded. Oh, yeah. I said that was their dream scenario. I had forgotten all about that. Yeah, it was that crazy. It was that crazy.
Sometimes there's a lot of information, and I get information overload.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we'll see. It's all dreaming. Dreaming's free. Who knows what's going to actually happen? But it is interesting to speculate. But Marvin Harrison, There are these reports out there. And we'll get into what Kyler Murray had to say about this as well, because he had a lot that he wanted to chime in as well. Embrace the Suns playoffs. Go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in every day in the 8 o'clock hour, noon hour, and 3 o'clock hour. Snag our exclusive Suns code word. Text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance to get there. Tune in today during the 3 o'clock hour and listen for the Suns code word. So we've talked about the Cardinals at number 4. They've got another first-round pick, and they've got tons of options at 27. We'll go through them next on Burns and Gambo.
Listen to the Arizona Sports NFL Draft Special this afternoon at 4. Burns and Gambo talk NFL Draft now.
Okay, so first round's today. Tomorrow's the second, the third round. And then Saturday morning, for you diehard traditionalists like me, get up on Saturday morning, make some eggs, make some bacon, make some pancakes, and watch the NFL draft.
Eggs,
I still
bacon,
miss that.
And pancakes, man.
Eggs, bacon, pancakes, and the NFL draft. It's a Saturday morning. It's a staple. That to me is when the draft is like,
pancakes,
well, this is how it used to
or
be.
Or French toast.
Oh, pancakes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's like chocolate or peanut butter. I mean, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like French toast or pancakes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But a preference? Pancakes.
All right.
Pancakes. Poll question? Maybe?
I don't know.
No. Well, the correct answer is French toast, so I don't think we need a poll question.
I would have voted French toast.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would have voted French toast.
Jeremy, French toast or pancakes? Pancakes for Jeremy Byron. Pancakes. Jamal, pancakes. Paul, pancakes. Okay.
Are you going to ask everybody before you ask Lauren? Just making sure.
Oh, sorry. Well, Lauren's been quiet the whole show. She hasn't made a peep. Lauren, French toast or pancakes?
Pancakes.
Okay.
Can't go wrong with either.
You can't go wrong. It's like I said, chocolate and peanut butter. All right. I don't know how we got. Well, I know how we got sidetracked on that, because that's food and I love it. So much focus on 4. Great intel from Gambo. Good speculation. Lots of fun to think about what might happen and what could happen and what if this and what if that.
Yeah.
There's another pick today.
Yes.
And it's number 27.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow the Cardinals will pick 35th overall, 66th, 71st, and 90th overall. Let's talk about what could happen later tonight at number 27, because I feel like, you tell me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. I think this pick is on the move one way or another. Up or down.
Yeah.
I don't think the Cardinals are picking at 27 tonight.
Well, this is the type of pick that they have no idea what's going to happen here. You got to let it play out. You got to wait and see. You're just too far out. I think Monty may have some experience picking this late, because the Patriots were picking late a lot of the times when he was there. But it's really a waste of time to start like figuring out who they're going to be there, because so many players are going to come off the board. But what I will tell you is just to keep your eye on this, because if a quarterback, like just say Bo Nix drops to 27,
okay.
And I don't know that he will, right? Okay. I don't know that he will.
Sketchy, but okay.
But let's just say Bo Nix drops to 27. There will be teams in the second round that say, I want to come up and get him now, because you get the fifth-year option.
Amen.
So there will be some calls there. So we've talked a lot about the Cardinals trading up from 27. We've got to look at a scenario that may have them trading down. Now, I think it would take a quarterback being there and somebody in the second round that likes that quarterback that says, I'd like to get him, but I don't want to get him in the second. I want to get him now to get his fifth-year option available to me, and that's very valuable to certain teams, that fifth-year option. So that could be where it plays out as well.
I was listening to Paul Calvisi. He was on with Wolf and Luke earlier today, and he brought up a point that I know we've made a couple times on our show over the last couple of months. Next year's quarterback class is not supposed to be very good at all.
Right.
And I think Paul thinks, and I agree, that is going to feed the idea that 6 quarterbacks could go in the first round of this year's draft. So Bo Nix, Penix, and then, of course, the big three in J.J. McCarthy, however you want to phrase it. I think the question is, does somebody like Bo Nix or Michael Penix, are they available at the end of the first round?
No way Penix is.
I don't think either are.
I don't think so either.
I don't think either are. I just think there's too much of a need for the position, too many teams that didn't address the position, and too many teams who are willing to kind of take a swing and maybe one of those guys becomes their future quarterback. So, but if it happens, then yeah, absolutely, there might be an opportunity for the Cardinals to accumulate even more assets, move back, and let somebody move up and take. And it doesn't have to be a quarterback either. It could be another player at another position that a team wants those fifth-year rights on, right? It doesn't have to be a quarterback.
No, but the most likely scenario is a quarterback. But you could be somebody else.
Those fifth-year rights are valuable. I mean, if you hit on a pick, you want to be able to have those on the guy. I also think conversely, and I don't know what your intel tells you about this, I also think conversely that because the Cardinals have four day-two picks, a second and three-thirds, that this allows them to be ultra aggressive.
To move up.
To move up to the teens.
Yes.
16, 17, wherever. Cornerback that they love is going to be in that wheelhouse. Edge rusher that they love is going to be somewhere in that area. Offensive lineman they love somewhere in that area. I think the Cardinals have an amazing ability to be really aggressive at the back end of the first half, or the first round of the draft, by using the assets they have tomorrow to make a deal and move up. Agree, disagree? What do you think
about that? I agree, because when you look at the amount of picks that they have, the chances of all of those players, if you take every single pick, you know, face value, the chances that all of those picks are going to make the roster are probably pretty slim.
Agreed.
So would you turn? Can you turn two or three of those picks into a better pick to where you feel really good about a player that you really like? Look, they need cornerback help. None of the quarterbacks, you know, they don't have any cornerbacks rated. I don't believe in their top 10. I don't believe so. I believe that they've got the cornerbacks rated after that. So start to look at
10 to 20
range is what we talked about last week when I had some information. So I think that's what you're looking at. I think you're looking at somewhere in that 10 to 20 range. So if you're at 27, could you get up to 18 or 19 and be able to get one of those corners? Yeah, I think that's something to keep your eye on.
You got a position that you would forget a name, okay, because you're right. It's impossible to predict names because we don't know how everything's going to shake out in front. You got a position you prefer? Corner, edge, offensive lineman with that second first-round pick?
With the second? Well, depending on what they do in the with the first. Are you saying Marvin Harrison Jr. Goes one?
I'm saying what? Let's say they get Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's say the reports of him being promised are true, or the Cardinals stay at four and it's the obvious pick. Let's say they get him, or even they get Roma Dunsey or one of the other wide receivers. Yeah, let's say it's a wide receiver.
Okay, wide receiver goes at four. I would be okay turning that pick into... Now, I prefer offensive tackle and edge rusher.
Ooh.
But if the top guys are gone and you're talking about making a pick at 19, I would rather, now follow me here, I would rather have the first or second best cornerback than the fourth or fifth best at another position.
Yeah,
Third or fourth best at that position.
I think I would lean corner for almost that exact same reason. I think they desperately need all of these positions. I can't sit here and say they need one over another. They desperately need a young corner to be able to say is kind of a cornerstone for them moving forward at that position, because they ain't got squat at that position, right? At least in terms of a long trip. Maybe Garrett Williams turns out to be good. He was good at times last year. I don't want to completely diminish him, but they're just so thin there, and they don't really have that guy. They really haven't had that guy since Patrick Peterson. I think I would probably lean that. That's just me, though. I mean, a lot of it just depends on who's there, though, and who's gone and what's available, you know?
Sure, because there are two really good tackles in this draft, but I believe the Cardinals like Joe Alt better than, by a lot, than the next best guy. Edge rusher, not a great year for edge rusher. So if Dallas Turner's off the board, I don't want to reach for an edge rusher ahead of a top cornerback in the draft.
I mean, unless it's like Latu out of UCLA, if you love him, is Jared Verse there? I tend to think not. It's the funny thing about the offensive lineman. I was looking at some odds today. The odds makers in Vegas believe 10 of them are going in the first round. 10.
Edge rushers?
No. Offensive. Did I say edge rushers? I apologize. Offensive linemen.
Offensive linemen. Okay.
10 offensive linemen in the first round. Now, that's not just tackles, mind you. That's interior, that's centers, guards, things like that. But 10 offensive linemen is like the over-under, I think, is 9.5. on how many offensive linemen go in the first round.
Wow.
So there's a ton of them. Everybody says it's a great year to get an offensive lineman.
Yes.
You could probably move back into the late teens, and you'd probably get a pretty good one if there are that many of them.
Well, I'm telling you, I truly believe that Joe Walt is ahead of at least one of those top three wide receivers. I would expect that he's ahead of at least one of those wide receivers when the Cardinals are doing their, when they put their board together.
Text us your thoughts right now on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. I'll take nine words I never expected myself to say for 500. Alex, are the Suns on the verge of being swept? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Burns and Gambo need to know social poll.
Presented by Sanderson Ford.
I just realized in looking at social media that I did Waffles a great disrespect by not including them in the breakfast poll question. Mitch and Lauren, I hope we haven't pissed off the Waffle fans.
Look, I'm just happy you included Lauren this time in the conversation.
Stop. I love Lauren. I love Lauren. Lauren, I love you. Sorry I left you out.
Thanks, Burnsy. Love you, too.
That's what I thought. All right. What do we got for poll question?
You want the serious one or do you want the breakfast food one?
Breakfast food.
Okay. So, which is the better breakfast food of the options we've provided? Pancakes, French toast.
Pancake.
People hate the French, so... But I'm gonna vote French toast. I like French toast better.
Yeah,
like
turning this into a cultural war. I love it. People hate them.
Vive really la like France. Toast.
Vive la France.
Except for like Craig Riello.
Oh,
jeez. Like but all the others.
Yeah. All the others. Speak for yourself. I love French.
Casual French. Side swipe of Gris. What the heck?
I know, right? I know. What's our audience? We forgot waffles.
Yeah, sorry, and, waffles.
Omelets.
Well, I mean, we're just kind of
sorry,
going for
biscuits and gravy. Breakfast burritos.
Sweeter foods available at breakfast.
Sorry, crepes. If you want another French thing.
What's our audience say?
52% say French toast.
Oh wow!
To 48% pancakes.
There you go.
All right, interesting. I'll say yes to both. I'll say no to neither. What's our serious question today? Let's get serious.
I put this out way earlier in the morning so it could get plenty of time to gather some votes before the actual event happens. But I'm basing this off of Gambo's 5 yesterday. And if the Cardinals are in a situation where they will not be taking Marvin Harrison Jr., whether it's they're not at 4, he's not there, whatever it may be, they don't take Marvin Harrison Jr. They can't.
Okay.
Who of the following would you rather the Cardinals take? Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Joe Alt, Dallas Turner.
Rome.
I'll go with Odunze.
As will 41% of our audience in this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But 36% say Malik Nabers they would prefer.
It's close.
They want receiver. And I think that's very, very clear in this one.
There is Dallas Turner and Joe Alt are rated higher than at least one of those three wide receivers on their board.
Which one?
Which one is it, Gambo?
Which one?
I don't have all the information. I try to get you what I can.
Well, darn it, that's not good enough.
I think, okay, I wouldn't bet a house payment on this.
Oh, here we go.
I think that they go Marvin Harrison Jr. 1. That's a given.
Uh-huh.
But between 2 and 3, I would give the lean to Odunze.
Okay.
Just but you bigger, don't, more
that's
physical.
Just, that's just your – that's a guess, right? Educated guess?
The fact that Alt and Turner are ahead of a wide receiver is not a guess.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant the order of the wide receivers.
Yeah, that's okay. That's more of a guess.
I meant the order of the wide receivers. All right, those are our poll questions. You can find them on our social media page at Burns and Gambo. One word is where you can find us on X. I don't want everyone to panic over the tease into the segment. I don't believe the Suns are getting swept. I don't think Gambo thinks the Suns are getting swept. But if you read a publication or two coming out of Minnesota, yeah, they're kind of talking about, they're feeling themselves right now very clearly about their ability to dominate Phoenix the way they've dominated the series and their belief that, hey, maybe this is going to end up being a sweep when it's all said and done. Seems nuts, but...
Yeah, I think so, too. There was there was an article in the Minnesota Star Tribune, and the columnist wrote, Timberwolves, time to get greedy and put down the Suns. This series might not reach five games. And I looked at it, but there was something in one of the articles that really stood out to me. And it wasn't so much about, like, I don't think Minnesota's going to sweep. I don't see the Suns losing two games at home. But they said the national optimism for the Suns was such that in the preseason, they were the third choice to win the NBA title, plus 600. The Wolves were 16th. So in the preseason, the Suns were the third highest, had the third best odds, and the Timberwolves were 16th. The Timberwolves were 66-1. The Suns were 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that stood out to me only because of just how much things have changed, how much the regular season has changed. The Timberwolves ended up having a great year. They came together. Last year, it took a while to figure out how to play with Rudy Gobert. They got beat in the first round by the Nuggets. They didn't have Jaden McDaniels. They didn't have Naz Reid. They bowed out pretty easily. And I don't think there was a lot of belief that this team was going to be great this year because they didn't really add a whole lot. They didn't make a lot of changes. But Nate, and Naz Reid ended up being the sixth guy of the year, and Jaden McDaniels has blossomed into a terrific young player, and Mike Conley continues to play at a high level, and they figured out how to play with Rudy Gobert, and Anthony Edwards took his game to another level, and all those things worked out to where Minnesota really, you know, became one of the best young teams in the league.
Well, surely that speaks to kind of our overinflated sense of expectations for the Suns going into the season, and I say that they won 49 basketball games. All right, that's any other year that would have put them in a top four seed in the Western Conference, but the typical top four, top five seed in the Western Conference. But this year, the West was so much more difficult. But we all expected more than this out of the Suns. The Timberwolves, I didn't have super high expectations on them. They've certainly outkicked their coverage. But the Suns, we all expected more than this. So that kind of doesn't surprise me. I don't know if this will surprise you. This is Grayson Allen, his back and forth with reporters today about his ankle. He was speaking with the media today at the Suns facility. And here's what he had to say.
Ask it.
How's the ankle?
It's good. Better than I thought.
Better than what you thought. How'd you think it could feel?
I guess it's better. I thought it was going to hurt a lot. Feels pretty good.
So you feel like you play tomorrow?
Questionable.
Questionable.
Better
than he thought he expected it would feel.
I reported yesterday that from what I'm hearing, Grayson Allen will play again in this series. Not sure on tomorrow was what I was told. It was questionable then. Not sure. I think it's pretty likely that he would play on Sunday. I don't want to say it's a given, but I think it's likely that he would play on Sunday. They could give him one day off and make sure that he's ready for that game.
Yeah.
But from what I heard yesterday, because there was a lot of talk like, is he going to miss this year? Shaq said he's going to be out for weeks. He looked at it on the broadcast. He's going to be out for weeks.
Okay.
But, like, that's a popular show with people that believe a lot of things
that
they say.
I mean, present to me Shaq's medical doctorate, please. Show me the diploma on the wall where Shaq is diagnosing injuries. You know?
I mean, he does have police training.
Okay,
I'm sure he's got, like, the ability to help and assist when people are injured or hurt.
All right.
Shaq
is, when I start getting medical advice from Shaq, the world is truly coming to an end, I think. This is from Sham Sharania's show, Run It Back. This is Chandler Parsons and Lou Williams having a conversation about the Suns and their offense. And
Sweet Lou.
Yeah, boy, they were getting into it here.
The season's almost over for them. And they have one point guard on their roster, Isaiah Thomas. They just signed him 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So it's like this hasn't worked all
year.
And
a very capable point guard at that. Very
so I think, listen, when you're down and your offense is straight poop like theirs has been right now, they have to make a change. They have to do something drastic here because what they're doing here is not working, and it's ISO ball. It's like there's no difference than playing at LA Fitness right now, taking turns, going ISO. There's no flow. There's no movement to their offense, and it's all because they don't have a setup guy. It's just three scores. And I thought initially that would work because these guys are so talented. These guys are so good, and how do you guard all of them? But the defense is just set. They all pack the paint, and if they're not shooting the ball well and they're inefficient that night, they lose. They lose bad, and that's what's happening here.
Straight poop? LA Fitness? Here's one more from the guys talking about the Suns offense right now.
Is it a time now for the Phoenix Suns
Will they explore the idea of maybe Bradley Beal coming off the bench? And maybe, and listen, bring Brad off the bench, pair him up with IT.
Or start him up, literally start Isaiah Thomas. Start any, start a point guard. Like, this team, Brad Beal,
interesting.
Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, they are phenomenal scorers. They can score in an array of ways. They've always had a point guard. They've always had someone to set up. So now this year, they're some of the best scoring wings that we have in the NBA, and we're trying to turn them into point guards.
Right.
That's just not what they do. It's not what they've done their whole career to make them who they are.
Okay,
so
this kind of harkens back to a conversation that we had yesterday, but we never talked about this, all right? We didn't talk about start Isaiah Thomas and have Bradley Beal come off the bench. We talked about the Suns' wing players not being able to initiate their own offense.
Sure.
You described it like a running back trying to play quarterback.
The Cardinals have a running back playing quarterback.
The Suns.
Suns have a running back playing quarterback as their point guard.
But Isaiah Thomas should start and Bradley Beal should come off the bench.
It's stupid. It's stupid. It's never going to happen.
Whoa.
Isaiah Thomas has barely played any minutes at all. Hasn't been here for a while. I know he's a true point guard, but, man, he's a much older player. He's here in case of emergency, break glass, in case there were injuries. And you're also not going to do that to Bradley Beal and everybody else on the roster by moving him down.
Embrace the Suns playoffs. Go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in every day in the 8 o'clock hour, noon hour, and 3 o'clock hour here on Burns and Gambo. Snag our exclusive Phoenix Suns code word. Text it to 620-620 for your chance at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance. Tune in today in the 3 o'clock hour and then tomorrow in the 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 o'clock hour. When we come back, who could entertain a trade-up with the Cardinals if that's on the agenda? That is next on the Burns and Gambo show.